Last night, the Falcons made a couple of draft picks, including a trade in the first round to get a couple of offensive linemen. And to break that all down and to look ahead to tonight and Saturday afternoon, we bring in Jason Butt from The Athletic. Jason, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Late night for you, I know, for me as well. So yep. You told us last week, you wrote it on our site at The Athletic, And you mentioned it yesterday as well. They could move back into the first round, and then they did it. What were your thoughts on them moving back into the first round? First off, to get Caleb McGary.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I first heard that was a possibility a couple weeks ago, but it definitely wasn't, and by no way, shape, or form was that potential scenario for two offensive linemen. So that's kind of why I threw that out there. I thought that was a possibility enough to make it something that should be considered, or at least put it out there for the fans. But it makes sense when you think about needing to upgrade the offensive line. I think that for a lot of fans, they obviously wanted the shiny pass rusher, the defensive tackle that's going to get the interior rush, or even a cornerback, even a flash of playmaker. The least sexy position on the football team is the offensive line. And so when you take a guard at 14 and then you trade back in to take a tackle at 31, I think it sets up for some disappointment among fans. Right? You know, offensive linemen jerseys aren't what you buy. You know, you're buying the skill position guys. But that said, this is a team that gave up 42 sacks to their $150 million quarterback. So given the fact that they couldn't run the ball well last year outside of about three games, for whatever reason, they ran the ball great against Carolina. I'm blanking on who it was. I think Arizona, yeah. They ran the ball well against Arizona and really didn't have much success on the ground in any other game last season. They had to make some upgrades. And, yes, they brought in some free agents. They also had an issue with the offensive line last year where they lost their starting two centers, and they ended up with Ben Garland and Wes Schweitzer. And those two guys got eaten up alive to the point where they had to go sign Zane Beatles in free agency to sub in for Ben Garland, who was no longer with the team, who left for San Francisco in free agency. The point is, they had a lot of holes on this offensive line last year, whether it was from depth or just good starters. And now they've upgraded them with draft picks and with free agents. They're spending a little extra money, and then I guess fans wish it was spread out more to other positions. But the goal is to not be worried about being in a situation where their franchise quarterback, who is getting paid $30 million a year, is going to get hit repeatedly, you know, game after game. They wanted to make sure they had that asset protected, and that's what they did. That's what their intention was with these first two picks.
Jason, you look at the first pick, and again, all that taken into account, you had Cody Ford kind of as a guy they were looking at, and then they end up mm-hmm. with Lindstrom. What do you think of the pick of Lindstrom? Because I think it's a really good pick.
It's a good pick, and it's funny because, you know, Cody Ford was being billed as a tackle, but the Falcons wanted him. I reported this previously. They were looking at Ford as a guard. Now, I think it does sound like there might have been some medical issues at play with Cody Ford, you know, in hindsight. That wasn't something, I knew of him before and after. You know, he did have an injury, a pretty bad injury at Oklahoma before his redshirt junior season. I broke his leg. So, you know, who knows? There might have been an issue there that scared not only the Falcons, but a lot of teams. This was a potential top 20, top 25 pick who fell out of the first round wholeheartedly. But if the Falcons were going to stay at 14, which they ended up deciding to do so the day of the draft, the offensive guard was always at play. And that's something I saw repeatedly last night that kind of shocked me, where fans were beside themselves about taking a guard. Like, why are we taking a guard? And it was always at play. It was something I'd put out there for a while now. They really want to get bigger and stronger and meaner up front and in the interior. Matt Ryan is at his best when he steps up into the pocket, and they did not have that ability last year with who they had. Now they're bigger in the middle of the interior offensive line with Lindstrom. He has a mean streak. He's rated as the best guard. And the last 10 years, you've started to see guards go in the first round. You saw the Colts do it last year in the top 10 with Quentin Nelson, and he turned out to be probably the best, or at least one of the best, rookie offensive linemen in the entire NFL last year. So, you know, it's it's not a position that teams are waiting on as much as they did, you know, 20 years ago. And so if you think that he's a guy that is going to give you that kind of immediate boost, and you're worried that teams are going to take him a few picks later, you know, Thomas Dimitroff said they were worried three or four teams could take him in the top 20 after their pick at 14, then you go ahead and take him. And so, you know, yeah, I think a lot of people thought it was earlier just because the mock draft had him going later. But at the end of the day, the mock drafts are never right for a reason, because they're just not privy to the kind of information that, that teams have gathered for themselves throughout a year-long scouting process. And so I trust the Falcons, especially since 2015. They've drafted well enough to where if they had Lindstrom pegged for this spot, I think they did their homework and they got their guy.
So you talked about them being afraid that Lindstrom would go in the top 20. That's why they didn't necessarily trade back. Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear any rumblings of them maybe trading up? Because I did see a lot of rumors linking them maybe to Ed Oliver, maybe Christian Wilkins. Was there ever any sense that they might try to get up in the draft, or do you feel like 14 was always the spot that they were going to stay at?
Yeah, they definitely had discussions, and they acknowledged that last night, both Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff. But they made a final decision yesterday, essentially. They went into the day, they decided, okay, here's the plan. After discussing things over and looking at the options, you know, basically stay at 14, take the guy, and then, you know, they had discussed the possibility of trading back in at some point, and then they got fortunate and Les Snead from the Rams actually called Dimitroff before the draft starts and says, yeah, we want to trade out of 31. Are you interested? And so that's how that set in motion, which is very interesting, which just because it shows that the you know, the defending NFC champs, they obviously have some contracts coming up and they have a lot of money that they have spent on some players, and therefore they probably didn't have enough resources to even draft a first round pick to pay them that kind of a slotted salary. So you know, they traded back before the draft. They wanted to trade back before the draft even started, and so Atlanta was able to kind of work their way back in and take a tackle they really liked. And the thing is, they could have probably traded from 45 into the earlier second round, but there was some worry about McGarry falling too far in the second round. I think you're going to see an early run on offensive linemen to start the second round. Six have already gone, and so they really coveted McGarry, especially. My understanding was especially after his visit last week. I believe it was last Wednesday, he visited the Falcons facility, and you know, that was kind of the last scouting piece of the puzzle for him. And it was then the Falcons really seemed to hone in on possibly making a move to get him if they could in that late first round.
Jason Butt from The Athletic joined us here on the Midday Sports Zone to talk about the Falcons draft. So Jason, they make the trade last night. They get back up in the first round. Now they don't have any second and third round picks. So if they don't make a move before today, they won't draft today. How do you think that works out? Do they make a trade to get back up, or do they just stay where they are in tomorrow's picks?
Yeah, they got seven picks from rounds 4 to 7, 2 in the 4th, 2 in the 5th, 2 in the 6th, 1 in the 7th. I expect them to make a trade. I expect them to not have 9 overall picks. I didn't expect them to have 9 overall picks. A lot of it having to do with salary cap considerations, to pay the entire rookie pool of draft picks. So, I definitely think they'll try to trade into the 3rd. And, I think trading into the 2nd will be a little too steep, but trading into the 3rd is very doable. And I would definitely think that at some point the Falcons will make that happen. And, I didn't expect 2 offensive linemen, so I don't even know which direction they'll go. They have a lot of directions they can go, cornerbacks, offensive line, linebacker, even tight end, running back. Who knows? So the world is a little interesting if they decide to trade back into the 3rd round, which I do expect them to do.
Well, it should be interesting, and Jason will have it covered on The Athletic throughout tonight and the weekend. And, Jason, we appreciate it, bud, and we'll catch up with you next week, and then we'll give you a little bit of a break after that.
Sounds good. Y'all right. Take care. Thanks for having
man.
Me on.
Appreciate it. That's Jason Butt. Jason does a really good job covering the Falcons, if I say so myself.